I just got Eli today. You want to come up, Eli? Is there any other young people? Well, I got one. Hey, man, what's happening? Who are you today? You're some kind of wizard, man. Or a wizard monster. Okay, you know tomorrow's going to be an eclipse? What does that mean? Do you know? Okay. going to be an eclipse. An eclipse means the sun's going to get between the moon, or excuse me, the moon's going to get between the sun and the earth. I got to go back to basic geometry. And it's going to make everything dark about 2 o'clock. Are you going to be a monster then? All right. But during that time, I'm going to look up. I'm not going to look at the sun, but I'm going to look up and thank God for everything he's done for us and how he controls everything. God controls everything, and he controls you, and he controls me.
And I can control monsters.
You can control monsters. I'm glad. I'm glad because I got a monster that lives under my bed. Can you make him go away? No.
Sometimes monsters live under your bed.
Oh, but you can control them, can't you?
I mean, control means create them.
Oh, you create them. I know people that create monsters all the time. They scare me too. Well, I love you, Eli. Let me say a prayer for you. And I'm praying one day that you'll be like Jesus when you come up here. Okay? You don't know what to say to that. Father, I thank you for Eli. I thank you for this young man. And I pray that you'll continue to bless him. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him to us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You've got a fantastic imagination.
Some kind of squid.
Oh, you're a squid too? Well, in that case, we'll give you a fish basket. Yeah. All right. Well, I was going to give him one of those, Jimmy, but he took off. But I'll give him out at the next service. That's good to be in the house of God, isn't it?
Amen.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Yes. You're welcome. You're welcome. I never know what Eli's going to say. But it's always interesting. It's always interesting. And I believe he's going to be one of them Hollywood actors. Because he is not ashamed to speak up. Whoever's bringing these presents in for the kids, I really appreciate it.
Amen.
I really appreciate it. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. We've got a different type of responsive reading today. I'm going to be reading responsively the text of Matthew 27, 11 through 19. I'll have the congregation read responsively other texts. But it'll become evident why I'm having you do that in just a few moments. Okay? I ask the audience to read the bold-faced text in your handout. I'll read the non-bold-faced text. In Matthew 27:11, we read, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest,
Whatsoever the Lord please, that give me.
And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly.
Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. He declared the beginning from the beginning.
Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. Now they had then a notable prisoner named Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him.
The Lord saved your life and the blood, and the Lord sits as king forever. Indeed, before the day was, I am he, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it?
When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. May God bless the reading and preaching of his word. You know, we're going to have an eclipse tomorrow. Everybody's a titter about that, excited about it. The school kids are out of school. I understand they teachers called in, said they weren't coming. People, I would highly advise you not be on the highway around 2 o'clock tomorrow. People will not only be texting, but trying to see the eclipse. Don't stare directly at the eclipse. Do not look directly at it. What an eclipse is a time when the moon passes between the sun and the earth. And it's something that God has created. God has made the sun stationary, and he's made the earth to rotate around the sun and the moon to rotate around the earth. And God did that because God is in control. God is always in control. There's times when it seems like God's not in control, but our God oversees everything. Our God is over top of everything. And we see that today with Jesus. As Jesus stands before Pilate, here's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords standing before a governor, a minor governor, a puppet governor, and a corrupt man. This is a corrupt judge. You know, I'm kind of sad to say this. Many of the judges in America today are corrupt judges. They do not listen to what the law says, and they bend things, and they turn away from God. Pilate was a corrupt man. And as he did the things that he did things that he ought not to have done. And yet God is still in control. The reason Jesus stands in front of this man is because Jesus Christ has been decreed by God. He is going to go to the cross. And as Jesus stood there, Pilate asked him, he said, "Are you King of the Jews?" Jesus said, "It is exactly as you have said." He never denied who he was. But then they began to ask him questions. Jesus was not broken, beaten, and mocked. He was not defeated. Jesus stood in front of Pilate as an innocent Messiah, but he stood there for you because God has decreed the blood. What does decree mean? Decree means the order of the king. And the Bible says everyone is a sinner. Everybody is a sinner. Sometimes we get on our self-righteous horse and we want to ride it all the way to Mount God. We want to go up there and say, "Oh, look, I'm better than everybody else." But I want you to know God says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners.
Amen.
And Jesus stood before the Pilate because God decreed the cross. The Bible says that the first step to being well is to understand that you're unwell. You've got to understand, first of all, that you are not right in the sight of God without Jesus. But with Jesus, we have peace with God. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on that cross for whosoever believed in him. And the ones who delivered him up were the Jews. Now, they were false Jews. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 2. He says, no one is a Jew who is merely one who is outwardly a Jew. But he said a Jew is someone who is inwardly a Jew, whose heart has been circumcised. If your heart has been changed and you love God and you want to worship God, oh my goodness, I look at y'all, but I'm just going to have to preach a little bit. If you love Jesus, then you are converted. You are one of God's people. The word Jew means someone who's right with God, someone who's righteous, someone who wants to lift him up. And Caiaphas didn't want to do that. Caiaphas was jealous. Pilate said that the reason they delivered Jesus is because for envy they did that. I want y'all to know that the reason we do a lot of our sin in this world today is because of envy and greed. Because we want to put ourselves first. Because we let that old sin nature take over. As Jesus stood before Pilate and the Jews, so-called, began to accuse him, Jesus said not a word. Oh, I love that. I wish we could all learn that lesson. You can't argue with the dark. Did y'all know that?
Yep.
You can shout at the dark all you want to, but you can't defeat the dark. Arguing with the dark, if it'll just get you confused. I wish our president would get off of Twitter.
Amen.
No extra charge for that. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's times when you just need to stand on what is right and shut up and shine. That's what you need to do. You need to shut up and shine. They began to accuse him and ask him, "Are you the Christ?" And they began to accuse him of blasphemy. And Jesus stood there. And after a few moments, Pilate looked at Jesus and he said, "Don't you hear what they're saying? Anybody else in this place would stand up and go, 'Hello, I've never done anything wrong. Have you ever seen me do anything wrong?'" But Jesus said nothing. The Bible said in Psalms that he stood as a lamb before the sacrifice, a lamb before the shearer. And he opened not his mouth at all, because Jesus stood on what God said. Beloved, let us take a lesson from that. We need to stand on what God said.
Amen.
We need to stand and do what God said. We need to keep doing the right thing, even if no one else does the right thing. We need to stand up for Jesus, and we need to shine. We don't need to argue with the darkness. We need to turn on the light. Let others see Christ in us. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Let them see him in our face. Let them see it in our hands and our tongue and our feet in the way that we behave. Let God see us. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he stands there. And light earns nothing by arguing with the darkness. It absolutely does not. The Bible says Jesus stood silently for his church. He stood triumphant for his church. Jesus shined for his church because God had to purchase his church with his own blood. It is the blood that saves us. It is the blood that brings us near to God. God tells us over in Isaiah, he says, come, let us reason. He says, this is what God says. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be washed white as snow. Your sins are scarlet in the eyes of God. What covers those sins? The scarlet blood of Christ. When you call upon Jesus, you're redeemed. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18, you're redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver or gold. You can't buy your way into heaven, but God has provided a price for it. That price is the blood of his Son. The Bible says you can't walk near to God, Ephesians 2:13. You can't build a tower of Babel to get to God. You can't do enough good works to get to God. But it says now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near to him by the blood. And if you're in Christ, you need but whisper your needs to God. Because if you're in Christ, then God views you not as a sinner, but as a son and a daughter of God. And God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Y'all look at your neighbor, get your neighbor and say, God loves you. Oh, look at the guy behind you. Tell him God loves you. I don't think they figured it out. God loves you. It is the blood. It is the blood that makes me clean before God. It's not that, you know, so many times you'll make a mistake, you'll make a mistake. Y'all ever done that? I'm the only one, all right, I'll preach to me. Where's the mirror? You make a mistake, the devil will whisper in your ear, oh, you're not worthy. You're not worthy. You ever been there, Jerry?
I have.
You ever make mistakes?
I thought I did once, but I was wrong.
Oh. I was going to hug your neck, but I'm not going to now. When you make a mistake, when you err, when you walk and you do something you ought not to do, and you know that, then suddenly the devil whispers in your ear and you say, you're worthless, you're useless, you can't do. And then you'll begin that cycle where I'm going to do penance. Y'all ever been there? I'm going to do really good for a while. That's what I did when I was young and mess up. I do penance hoping daddy wouldn't whoop me. Amen. And I do the good things and I get in that cycle doing the good things. You know, that's an exhausting life. The best thing of all is just to say, Lord, it's nothing but blood. Lord, I belong to you. Lord, I give you myself. And Lord, I trust that it is the blood that brings me near to you. Lord, cover my sins with your blood. That's where joy is. That's where happiness is.
Amen.
And that certainly does not excuse the sins. God is in control, though. You know, I want to say this. God is sovereign, but it doesn't excuse Pilate's sin. What did Pilate do? Pilate, it says, they brought Jesus to Pilate. And Pilate, as he looked at Jesus, he saw an innocent man. He said, I can't find any fault in this man. You know, three times Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. If there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Do you know, three times Pilate examined Jesus and found absolutely nothing wrong with him. Finally, he looked at the Jews. He said, I see nothing wrong in this man. Absolutely nothing. Now, if he were a just judge, he should have released this man because Jesus was innocent. He had no reason to condemn an innocent man. And yet Pilate, he was a crooked man. He was an evil man. So what does Pilate do? The Bible tells us that Pilate, he sinned against God. You know, the Apostle Peter, he preached about that on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 20, in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached and he said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, him who was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It says, you have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain him. I don't understand how the power of God and free will work together, but I know this, God is always in control and always will be in control. But that did not excuse Pilate's sin. What he did was wicked. What Caiaphas did was wicked. And then what Pilate does is he looks around and he says, you know, we've got a tradition every year that we do. And that tradition is this. He said, we release somebody in place of an accused person. The Bible says that he reached over there and he had a man by the name of Barabbas brought out. Now, who is Barabbas? Luke 23:19 tells us this. It says, Barabbas had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city. And he'd been thrown into prison for murder. Barabbas was an unrepentant sinner. Barabbas was a man who had done wrong things. And Pilate asked this question. He said, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? Which one shall I release? They said, release Barabbas. He said, well, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? And they said unto him, let Jesus be crucified. Pilate said, what evil has Jesus done? But they cried out the more, let him be crucified. I cannot find a Bible prophecy anywhere that said Pilate would have Jesus crucified. You know, Pilate's wife, even she had a dream that night before. And in that dream, she told her husband, and I think it's wonderful whenever a wife gives a husband good advice. Don't y'all agree with that? I heard more female amens than I did men. But she gave him some good advice. Not like what Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Take a bite. It's all right, take a bite. Adam shouldn't have listened. Amen.
Amen.
But Pilate should have listened to his wife. His wife said, I have suffered many things this night because of this just man. She said, this man, that she said, he's a just man. And she said, don't have anything to do with it. Pass this on to someone else. Let someone else make the decision to do this. But don't get into it. And that was good advice. You know, Pilate, just a few years later, would be condemned and executed by Caesar. And I want you to know that the sin you do and the sin that you do not repent of and the sin that you wallow in will eventually come back to haunt you, because the wages of sin is always death. You see, sin is not a toy. And Pilate, he said, who shall we release? The people kept calling out Barabbas. Barabbas. Release Barabbas. Who is Barabbas? Barabbas is a beautiful picture the atonement. You know, I looked up the name Barabbas. The name Barabbas, the first part of his name is Bar, which means the son of. And the second part of his name, Abba, means the father. The son of the father. Every one of us are the sons and daughters of Adam. Every one of us are the sons and daughters of Noah. And as Barabbas stood before that seat of Pilate that day, he stood in that place as a guilty man. And every one of us are guilty of sin before God. Who shall we release? We will release the Son of the Father. We'll release Barabbas. And that's what happens in salvation. When you come to Jesus Christ, Jesus stands in your place and takes your judgment. He steps into that judgment seat and he's innocent. There's no wrong that he's ever done. They released Barabbas in Jesus' place. And when you come to Jesus, God releases you in Jesus' place. Isn't that a beautiful picture?
Amen.
And he takes the penalty in full. What was the next thing that happened to Jesus after that? The Bible says that they beat Jesus. And they put the cross on Jesus' back. And they forced him to carry his own tool of execution to that place called Golgotha. That's what Jesus did for you. And that's what Jesus did for me. Who is Barabbas? I'm Barabbas. You're Barabbas. Everybody's Barabbas. Barabbas that day had a choice. And you have a choice. Pilate looked out there. He said, release one and let the other one come and be executed. You have a choice. You have a choice. That's your choice. You see, Barabbas could have stood there and said, I don't want to be saved. You say, who in their right mind would do that? I was reading something the other day. I read a lot of stuff. Some of it sticks, some of it don't, because my mind is like a sieve. And some things run through it. And I can't remember the man's name, but literally this is true. They said several years ago, back in the 1800s, there was this man who was a murderer. And the governor gave him a reprieve. The governor said, you're free to go. So the governor sent a representative to the prison to tell him he was free to go. The man refused to see the emissary. He refused to accept what was given. And so as was scheduled the next day, they hung the man. And he died. It was his choice. You have the choice. Barabbas had the choice. He could go free or not. You have the choice whether you receive Christ or not. Would there be a day when you will stand before God the Father and make an account of your life? Whether you go into heaven or hell is going to be based on the choice that you make with your life. Will you acknowledge that you're Barabbas and let Jesus take your penalty? Or will you walk off as Barabbas and never change? Beloved, that's your choice. That's not something you can put on anybody else. I made my decision a long time ago. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And my only hope is Jesus.
Amen.
And as Barabbas, I took that redemption that Jesus gave me. And I've received him as Lord and Savior. And I'll follow him freely wherever he calls me
Praise
to go.
Praise the Lord, yes.
Because he is an awesome Savior. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Can we get an amen from the crowd?
Amen.
At the end of this, Matthew 27:24. Pilate saw he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, and he took water, and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. Just as Barabbas is a beautiful picture of the atonement, Pilate is a beautiful picture of the self-righteous. I wash my hand of this. I am guiltless of this. You know, you can't do that. Sin is an affront against God. Pilate stood in front of God one day in front of a great white throne, and he was judged. If he did not repent, he was judged. And then the people, in verses 25 and 26, then answered all the people, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas to him, and when they had scourged Jesus, beating him, he delivered him to be crucified. His blood be on us and on his children, on our children. Again, a beautiful picture. If his blood is on us, then Jesus paid it all. All of him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but praise God, he washed it white as snow. What a joy it is to know Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we love you so very much. We thank you, dear Jesus, for what you have said today in your text today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the message of Pilate. Thank you, Lord God, for the message of Barabbas. And thank you most of all, Jesus, for what you have shown us today in the cross. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day they would say yes to you. Lord, let your Holy Spirit have his way in this place. Lord, break the heart, Lord, that is stiffened, hardened. And Lord, mend together the broken heart, I pray. Lord, let your Holy Spirit touch, to guide, to bring us to you. Lord, we pray for our church. We pray for the lost that might be here. And we pray most of all, Lord, for our country. Lord, bring us back to where we need to be. Let us not eclipse you, Lord. But Lord God, let us see the sun straight on and benefit by that. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.
Lift me to number 307. 307.
Thank you.
to be in God's house. Amen. Brother Jimmy, what we're studying in Sunday school today?
We're studying about spreading the gospel and witnessing the people.
Witnessing the people. That's wonderful. Is that what we're doing in the couples class?
It's a Christian's responsibility to share the gospel with others.
That's right. A wonderful, wonderful thing. Let's come to Sunday.